These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. So when we talk about children as parents, we understand we have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to teach our children the Word of God. We are to teach them the truth about God's Word. But there's another person who has a responsibility, and that is God. God has a responsibility, and we find that in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, where it says this, "Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever." You see, as a father, my desire is that my son grows up to know Christ, that my son grows up to live a life following Christ. And so my duty as a parent is to teach him about Christ, teach him what the Word of God says. But God's part in that is to actually save him. See, I cannot give my son the heart that's seen in chapter 5, verse 29. You can't give your children that kind of heart, but God can and longs to do so. So God is instructing us specifically as parents that we are to teach God's Word to our children. Joshua says in chapter 24, verse 15, he says this, "If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The Net Bible puts it this way, "But I and my family will worship the Lord." It's important that we understand that Joshua is writing this, but he is making a specific instruction. He and his family will worship, will follow Christ. And understand this. This is a father and a husband. He's drawing the line in concrete, if you will, so that that line does not get moved, does not become blurry. Joshua understood that serving God meant God must be a priority in Joshua's life and his family's life. And if Joshua was going to serve God, he had to know God. And if his children were going to serve God, they had to know God. And he did so by teaching them the Word of God. The crucial decision that every family in here faces today is this. Whom will you serve? Will you serve sports or God? Will you serve work or God? Will you serve education or God? Will you serve money or God? See, teaching our children the truth about God is the only hope there is for the family. There is no hope for the family in the world's system. In fact, the world is absolutely waging war against the family. So we must do as Joshua did and make that crucial decision to follow God, to know God, to understand his word, to serve God over the seeming comforts that this world has to offer. In today's text, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, we'll be looking at God's plan for children as part of the family. But before I dive in, I want to make sure that this is established. I want to make sure that we understand children are an absolute blessing from God. They're a gift from God. See, that is kind of countercultural. In today's world, we kind of view children more as a nuisance or a bother. In the August edition of Time magazine this year, on the cover was a man and a woman in their swim attire on a sandy beach, and the title read this, and I quote, "The child-free life, when having it all means not having children." I read another article this past Tuesday evening where a woman wrote about the silly things people say to her when she tells them she doesn't want to have children. One of those silly things that people say is, "Well, what will you do when you get older?" And this is her response, and again, I quote, "Let's see. Hopefully spend the savings account that I didn't train on summer camp braces in college. on traveling the world, all while dressed like Bea Arthur and the Golden Girls playing shuffleboard. What a great plan, huh? How sad that our culture has gone so against God's word that they view children as a nuisance and a bother. See, the Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." Children are an absolute blessing from God. But parents, we have been given a great responsibility with these blessings. We are to teach our children to do two things in today's text: to obey you and to honor you. But how well your children obey and honor will rely largely on how committed you are to God and His Word. Proverbs 22, verse 6 states this: "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, in the theological realm, this is what we call proverbial wisdom. It's not a guarantee that your children will be Christ followers. Rather, it's more of a cause and effect. It says the way you train up your child or your children will show up in their adulthood. Now, teaching children to obey you, much less honor you, is not easy. Like, I understand, I'm learning that as a father of a 2.5-year-old. But the Bible says it's not easy for the same reason it's not easy for a husband to lead his wife to love her with a self-sacrificing love. For the same reason that a wife struggles to submit to her husband as a final authority. And that reason is this: that children are born with a sin nature. From the moment they are born, they are selfish, sinful little beings. Cute, absolutely, but selfish, right? They scream when they're not fed. They want to be held. They want their diaper changed. They have no concern if you have slept much through the night. They don't care if they made you late for work. The world revolves around them. But then they get beyond that infant stage and they become excellent at disobedience, right? I mean, they don't have to learn disobedience. They become excellent at it. I mean, you don't spend your early years of childhood going, "Yeah, sure, run with scissors in your hand, go right on ahead," right? It's not filled with yeses, but rather a whole lot of no's. "Hey, what did Dad tell you? Please put that down. How many times do I have to tell you that? No, no, no." I'll just be transparent. This is how difficult it is to raise children. I'm learning this. My son, Titus, he's about 2.5 years old. Every Sunday morning, we have to go through this routine because he's decided that hitting his friends is a good idea. So every Sunday morning, my wife or me, we kneel down, we look eye to eye, and we go, "Titus, today you're going to go to Sunday school and you're going to learn about Jesus." Yeah, he's smiling. He's like, "What does the Bible say?" "Be kind." That's what he says. Okay, cool. So what? Be kind to who? To Joey, to Joshua, to Owen. And he goes through all of his friends about who he's supposed to be kind to. And we say, "Well, that's great, but what does that mean?" "It means I know hit." "You're right." And then we go pick him up from Sunday school. And we walk up, we get him, he's like, "Daddy, I hit." He hasn't learned how to not tell on himself yet. But I mean, I didn't have to teach him disobedience, right? I've never had to sit Titus down and go, "Son, now in your life, you might come across this one day, and I want to prepare you. This is what disobedience looks like." Right? I've never had to teach him about that. Rather, I have to teach him what obedience looks like. Disobedience comes naturally to him. I think David sums it up well in Psalm 51, verse 5, where he says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Well, what's he saying? He's saying from the very time he was conceived, he was sinful. Pastor John MacArthur points out this: there is absolutely no training that occurs in the womb. So when these little lives burst out, it is ready to express sin. So the reason it's not easy to teach children to obey or to honor you is because they're born with a sin nature. They're bent towards disobedience, and that disobedience is exposed in an evil world. The second reason why it's not easy is the world we live in is waging war against them. Right? They already have this natural bent towards disobedience, but now they've got a system, a culture that is encouraging. Do what feels right to you. It's leaning on them, pressing and encouraging those already sinfully bent desires. Just do this. Don't worry about authority. Honor, what's that? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that as Christians, as families who are Christians, we are to be different. It says, do not be conformed to this world. The sad reality is, in the American church, there is very little difference between the world and the church. And understand what I'm saying here. I'm not talking about church in context of this specific gathering. I'm talking about each of us as individuals and as families who claim to be Christ followers, who go out and live our lives throughout the week with very little distinction between us who claim to follow Christ and those who don't claim to follow Christ. We have a great responsibility to teach our children to be different, to follow Christ. I want to share with you some interesting statistics from the University of Michigan. These were rolled out last year. First statistic, children ages 2 through 5 spend an average of 32 hours watching television per week, ages 2 to 5. They see an average of 2,000 beer and wine commercials, many of which are sexually explicit in content. 53% of households with 7th through 12th graders have no rules on what their children may watch, with 71% of them having a television in their own room with zero monitoring. And those, by the way, who have a television in their own room, you can add an additional 1.5 hours of television watching per day on top of the average child. By the time a child graduates from high school, they will have seen more than 20,000 hours of television, more than any other activity except sleeping. Now, let's make it school-age children. A child spends an average, they say, of 8 hours a day at school. If they're involved in extracurricular activities, you can add an additional 2 to 3 hours per day at school. So if we understand these statistics, and I get that they're just statistics, a school-age child spends an average of 83 hours per week entrusted in the care of someone else besides their parent, whether that's a teacher or someone teaching them on television. Yet the Bible says that it is our responsibility to teach our children. And just in case you're wondering, there are 168 hours in a 7-day week. So half of their week is spent with someone else besides you. And we haven't even talked about sleeping, playing video games, hanging out with friends, or doing homework. So I ask you this question: who's teaching your child? What are you teaching your child? Are you really wondering why your child does not listen to you? Like, are you really wondering why your child acts the way they do? Let's even think about it this way. Say you're one of the rare parents who brings their child to a Sunday gathering such as this, and your child is here for 2 hours. And maybe you're one of the really, really rare parents that brings your children to the child's prayer circle on Wednesday night and youth group on Wednesday night. So they get 4 hours of biblical teaching in a week. Do you really believe that that is enough to offset the 80-plus hours of unbiblical teaching they're receiving in a given week? So I ask you again, are we really surprised our children are the way they are? Are we really surprised our children don't obey, that they don't honor? And parents, I understand being a parent is difficult. There's a lot of pressures. The world says the more you have your child involved in stuff, so education, sports, extracurricular activities, the better parent you are. And as a father, I want nothing but the best for my son. So it's I think it's motivated well. But what happens all too often is as we get our children encamped in all these extracurricular activities, they start to lose what's the point of life. What are we really teaching our children? See, like, I know we want our children to be successful. We want our children to grow up and be successful. But let me ask you this. What is your definition of success? Is it that they'll get good grades so that they get into a good university, so that they get a good job, to get married and have kids, only for their kids to not know Christ, much less your children themselves know Christ, end up spending eternity apart from Christ? Is that your definition of success? Well, you're like, well, I don't not teach my kids about Christ. Well, let me ask you this. Just evaluate your week from last Sunday until today, and tell me, the hours spent, what does it tell about yourself? Does it say I point my kids more towards everything else but Christ? Or does it say I point my kids towards Christ? It's a good place to start. So again, I pose the question, what are you teaching your children? Are you really surprised that your children don't want to talk to you? Are you really surprised that your children are hiding things from you? In Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3, that's where we're going to start. I know, a long introduction. We won't be there very long, but Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul writes this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So I think it's important that we understand the context here. Paul just mentioned at the end of chapter 5 in verse 31 that men and women who are no longer under the authority of their parents are the men and women who have left the home and are married. That's the context. So the Greek word for children in Ephesians 6 is techna. It means offspring, but his emphasis is children who are under their parents' authority. Children are to obey. But Paul in the Greek specifically gives a bent towards, hey, those of you who are outside of the home, you are still supposed to respect and honor your parents as long as they live. So none of us in here are without excuse. The child who is brought up to obey and honor their parents will be inclined to listen to their wisdom. And just so we're clear, I know I'm speaking to a lot of adults, but anybody who is still living at home, the command is very explicit here. If Paul says in Ephesians, you are to obey and honor your parents, period. So Paul calls children specifically in verse 1, he calls them to an action. He says children are to obey their parents. This is not passive, this is absolutely active. He says, children are to obey. Well, what does this mean? Well, simply, students, children in here, if your parents tell you to do something, you're to do it. So if they say, hey, no television until all your homework is done, the television should not come on until all of your homework is done, period. I was 13 years of age. My father comes into my room. I'm sitting on my bed. He opens the door and says, you're grounded. Okay. Earlier in the evening, my parents had an event that they were supposed to go to. They go, they come into my room, they tell me, you're not supposed to watch TV at all tonight. And I'm pretty sure I'd smarted off or done something to deserve it. I said, okay, fine. So they leave. Well, I'm smart enough to know they might forget something and come back. So I wait 20, maybe 30 minutes, long enough for them to be far enough away to not be able to come back. And so then I run downstairs. I plop my fanny on that couch, put my feet up, put a nice pillow behind my bed. I turn on the television, and I spend a couple hours watching some very, very educational ESPN. I watched it for a couple hours. I was a big basketball fan. We're watching different things. And then I knew about the time my parents would come home. So I turn the TV off about 15 minutes before I expect them to come home, go upstairs, go in my room, act like everything's fine. Fast forward, my father comes in the room, says, you're grounded. I'm like, I'm grounded? He's like, yeah, you disobeyed. I did? Yeah, you did. You watched TV. Now I'm faced with the conflict. I watched TV. What do I say? Oh, they got cameras in this place or what? So, like a good 13-year-old, I go, no, I didn't. And he goes, yeah, you did. And he says, come here. And so we walk downstairs, walk through the living room. We go up to the television. He says, put your hand right here. Oh, man. As soon as I put my hand there, I knew I was in trouble. Like, who knew these big tube televisions get hot when you watch them for a couple of hours? So my lesson learned is turn the television off an hour before they get home. I'm just joking. It's that your sin will absolutely find you out. Your sin will absolutely find you out. Yeah, that was bad. A lot of things like that happened when I was growing up. So the command here is to obey your parents, something I failed to do. And here's what's important for children in here to know. You are to obey your parents regardless of if you feel like it or not. You're to obey your parents regardless if you think their instructions are dumb or not. You're to obey, period. Because all too often I have students coming up and they think their parents are just living in the dark ages. Like, my parents don't understand. I need a cell phone. I have to have a cell phone, right? Or my parents don't understand that 10 o'clock curfew on a Friday night doesn't make any sense. Everyone else doesn't have a curfew. And then what happens? They start rebelling against your instructions, and then the best part is you confront them and they play dumb. Is that what you said? Oh, I didn't hear you, sorry. Or my best part, the best one is this. I thought that was more of a suggestion. Like, come home at 10 o'clock if you have nothing to do. But if you have something to do, go ahead and stay out with your friends. Children, listen up. When you disobey your parents, this text says you are disobeying God. Because it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, in the Lord. And here's where I need us to understand something. You didn't choose your parents, children. God sovereignly chose them for you. Think about when everyone here, we all were born at one point. Think about when you were born. You were born, when you were born, where you were born, because God said so. You had nothing to do with it. Over and over again, it's said in Scripture that God chooses who he puts where, what families, that God is in control of all things. There are no surprises with God. There's no accidents with God. I mean, God isn't standing up in heaven looking down going, hey, Holy Spirit, come over here. Jesus, is that Matt Wiese down there? Yeah. I thought he was supposed to be a 90s kid, not an 80s kid, right? I mean, there's no mess up. Well, he's not like, hey, beam him back up here and let's start over again. God chose to put you under the parents that you have for a reason, because they are the best parents for you. You're like, well, I don't have parents. Okay, the grandparents that he's placed you under, the aunt, uncle that he's placed you under, God has chosen for you to be under those people. And parents, the same truth applies for you. So you can't say, oh, I don't want this one. This one doesn't listen. Next. Right? God sovereignly chose to give you the children that you have, because he said they're best for you and you're best for them. Children, I need us to understand something. When you say things like, my parents don't know what's best for me, here's what you're really saying. God doesn't know what's best for me. Because if God put you under your parents' authority and you rebel against them, you're ultimately rebelling against God. And that is a serious charge. You're saying that the one who created everything, including you, doesn't know what's best for you. Now, some of you, I get, might be sitting here and go, well, what if my parents aren't very good? Okay, I'll give that to you. Like, some parents are not very good. Some parents don't do a good job of raising children. I understand that. You say, well, if they're not very good, do I have to obey them? Here's the answer. Yes. Right? God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But hear me, you get one exception. You have one exception, and that is when your parents ask you to go directly against the pages of Scripture. That's the only exception you have. But here's the caveat. Like, you have to actually know what the Bible says. You can't just go, well, they're asking me to go home at 10, and I'm pretty sure that's making me go against Scripture, so I don't want to do it. Right? You have to know what the Bible says. If they're not asking you to go against Scripture, if they're not asking you to go against Scripture, then you must obey. And I know, like I was a kid, I know it can be tough. Parents don't do a good job sometimes. But here's the bigger issue that I want you to understand, kids. The bigger issue is this. Will you obey your parents because ultimately you're obeying God? So your obedience to your parents is ultimately an act of worship to God. It's a worship issue. Sometimes God allows parents to not be so good because he's trying to change something in you. So don't blame your parents. Start going, God, what is it you're trying to teach in me? Even though they're not making it easy. When you obey your parents, you are obeying God, and therefore you are bringing God glory. Parents, there is absolutely no excuse for you to not fulfill your God-given role just because God is sovereign. The fact that God commands children to obey does not give you the right to just use your children however you feel. It does not entitle you to be lackadaisical in your approach to parenting them or in your approach to who you allow them to sit under. You, parents, are to be setting the biblical example for your children. You're it. You stand before God. You're the one he's talking to, not his teacher. You're to be setting that biblical example. Pastor talked 2 weeks ago about men as husbands. We are to be setting the example for our families by leading our wives in a self-sacrificing way. And last week, Pastor Nate said, women, you are to be setting the example by submitting to your husbands as an act of worship. We are to be setting that example. But hear me, you can't set that example if you don't know what that example is. Everyone turn to Psalm 119, please. It's on page 512 if you have that black Bible. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 9. We'll start there. It says this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Listen, this guy, the psalmist here, understands the significance of the scriptures in his life. They are life to him. He understands that, he gets it. With everything he says, he seeks after God wholeheartedly. Verse 11, let's read it again. I have stored up, I've memorized, I know your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Listen, the implication for all of us is, as parents, you have to know God's word to set the biblical example so that ultimately you're not sinning against your kids by your lack of parenting. Parents, we are called to teach our children to obey. How are they ever going to learn to obey if we fail to teach them? Because society is not going to teach them to obey. They're not. In fact, in our society, the children now rule the house. parents are rarely home, and when they are home, they rarely spend the necessary time to pour into their children. They go, here, take the phone. Here, take the iPad. Oh, yeah, come to me when I feel like hanging out with you, but then after that, daddy's watching NFL football, right? We rarely spend that time, and then when our kids really embarrass us, what do? We do the only logical thing. We blame it on their stage of life. Well, that's their terrible twos. So like when he gets to three, he blows out the candle. What, he's not disobedient anymore? And then they get to teenagers and we go, well, that's just what teenagers do. That's an adolescent. Yeah, a teenager who's not been taught to obey and honor, that's what they do, absolutely. And all of this has culminated with adolescents, with children who are growing up with little to no regard for anyone else besides themselves. No respect for their parents, no respect for authority, no concern about other people's well-being, and absolutely no concern or respect or reverence for God, His Word, or His church. Why is it that it's a struggle to have children come to a youth group activity? I'm going to bring it back to the parents. What are you teaching your children? That's why I encourage you as parents, take time now with your children. Ask them questions like, hey, son, when you do this, do you think this makes God happy? Does this honor God with the way you hit your sister? Is that really the being kind as the Bible says? Because when you ask those questions, you are letting your children know it is about something bigger than mom and dad. It's about God, not you. And as much as you can provide for them, God can provide much better than you. And that ultimately they need something that you can't give them, and that is salvation from their sins. Ask them questions. Interact with them. A novel idea, spend time with them. One study says this, and I find it hard to believe, but they say it's true, that the average father spends 90 seconds actually talking to his child in a given week. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And this last part is great. For this is right. I love it. How many times have children actually said, but why? Right? Titus, he's discovered that dreadful word. But why, daddy? But why, daddy? Because this is right. Okay, but why, daddy? And over again we do it. But why, but why? And then they get a little bit older. Then they go, well, who said it's right? Really? You said it's right? Who's the authority? That's why we have to bring it back. It's bigger than you and I. God said it's right. God's the one who determines what's right and wrong, not us. So children are to obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. The second thing, the second responsibility for children that we find here is that they are to honor their parents. They are to honor their parents. This is the attitude that goes along with the behavior. The attitude that goes along with behavior. And the action is obedience. The attitude is honor. Our obedience is not to be selfish. Our obedience is not to be reluctant. Our obedience is to be coupled with honor for the parents. Paul says, and look in your Bibles, in verse 2, in Ephesians 6, says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And what is that promise? That it may go well with you. What's he getting after? He's saying, hey, there is a quality of life. Children who are obedient enjoy life because they enjoy life under the umbrella of God's blessings. He also says that children have length of life because they enjoy life without much sin because you've taught them to be obedient, and their life is not cut short by sin because they're under the blessing of God's blessing. They're under the umbrella of God's blessing. But the million-dollar question is this. How do we get our children to obey and honor us? Right? I mean, if you know the answer, you can write a book, because there's a ton of books out there. There's no one set, hey, this is how you do it. But the Bible says this is actually how you do it. You teach. You instruct them in the ways of God. But hear me out. Here's where I've seen a lot of legalistic parents pop up. They tell their kids what to do, but they themselves don't follow it. They have an expectation for their children that they do not hold for themselves. So they say, hey, obey God, but dad doesn't. Hey, obey God, but mom doesn't. So the Bible says you are to instruct your children in the ways of God. But then it says something else. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3 and 22 if you want to find those two places. How do you get a child to obey and honor you? You instruct them, but then you discipline them. You instruct them, and then you discipline them. Chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, it says this. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father corrects a son in whom he delights. We teach them by correction. You love your child, you discipline your child. Proverbs 22:15, if you want to flip over there. Proverbs 22, verse 15. It says, folly, or you could say foolishness, is bound up in the heart of a child. I love this part. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Do you understand what's being said? We're talking about behavior that has consequences, painful, immediate, physical consequences. And in 2013, I get that this is not popular to talk about. But the Bible says you instruct them and you discipline them. But here's where I cannot stress this enough. I need everyone to hear this. Disciplining your children must always be done in love. It can never, ever be done out of anger. You discipline your children, you do so out of love. And out of a motivation to help your children see Jesus, not because they made you angry. If you discipline your children out of anger, time and time again, I can guarantee you will kill any hope of having a relationship with them when they get older. So, children, obey. Children, obey and honor. Parents, teach them to obey and honor. So some of you are like, okay, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, that's good for children. What does it have to do with me? I want to talk to a few of you. Hopefully I cover everyone. The first is this, children. Paul says children, meaning those who are under the authority of their parents, who are living at home. The decisions you make today, children, affect your future. You can make it a little bit easier or harder for you based on the decisions you make today. Choose obedience. Because those whom God loves, he does go after. And I'm a testimony. It doesn't get easier. I chose for a long length of period of time to just ignore my parents and do what I felt was right. So please choose obedience, not to please your parents, but ultimately to please God. The second group is if you're in college, if you're engaged, you're newly married, but you don't have a child. Listen, prepare today. You need to know what God expects of you with children. Don't wait until you have children to learn what you're supposed to do with children. Pour into them now. Here at Crossbridge, we love kids. There are a ton of kids that run around this place. Start investing in them. A great place to start, get involved in the Discipleship Kids Ministry. Pour into them because they need the foundation of Christ in their life. Start preparing now, but hear me. I'm going to say this again. You cannot know what God expects of you with children if you yourself do not know the Bible. You have to know it. So get in it, read it, study it, memorize it. Filter every decision through the lens of Scripture. Men, okay, I'm a man, so I can say this. I love you guys, but stop being lazy with your God-given responsibility. Stop having your wives take your children to church. Stop having your wives drop them off at Sunday school, read the Bible with them at night, pray with them. Take back what God has instructed you to do. You wonder what's wrong with our world? Us as men are being pansies. We're like, we'll let our wives do it. We're tired. We worked all day. It is time for us to step up and fulfill our God-given roles. It is so frustrating to see where I get so lazy at times in this role. Wives seem to know the Bible better than their husbands. That's frustrating. Start today, right? Don't let another day go by. Do it today. Start leading your wives, loving them, leading your children, loving them. And if you're a parent and the children under your care are doing well, you're succeeding by the grace of God and teaching them truth, praise God. Give Him glory. Continue to point your kids towards Christ, but start encouraging those around you that need help. And if you're a parent in here and you're like, man, I've blown it. My kids are still in my household, or maybe they're grown and you're like, I've blown it. Well, the reality is you might have. But God's grace is sufficient to change you today. Go home. Seek forgiveness from your children for where you have failed to lead them biblically. And spend the rest of your life loving them with the love of Christ. Pursuing them, serving them, so that ultimately they see Christ in who you are and hear the words of the gospel from your mouth. Take hope. God's grace is sufficient to change you today. And the last group I want to talk to is grandparents. Empty nesters, whatever you want to call yourself. If your children are grown, maybe your children have children. Wow, what an awesome opportunity. Pour into your children. You know the struggles of parenthood. Help your grown children. Encourage them. And when you have your grandchildren under your care, teach them the Bible. Don't do what every grandparent does. And that is your kid, the grandchild comes to you and you give them something and they say, well, mommy says I can't have it. And you're like, it's okay, it's what grandparents do. I know that's cute and it's fun, but the reality is, what are you doing? You are feeding and encouraging that already disobedient bent that's in their heart. Pour into your children and grandchildren. Redeem this time. When your grandchildren are with you and they go and they're like, oh, look, it's windy or it's bright outside, tell them, you know what? God made the wind. God made the sun. And you know who else God made? He made you. And He loves you. And let me tell you a little bit about this love. Right? Bring everything back to Him. See, God has a wonderful plan for the family. And when it's played out biblically, it should create in us this sense of awe. But I ask you this question: are you leading your family biblically? Are you leading your family biblically? Do you have hope that God's instruction, God's plan for the family is better In a moment, the musicians are going to come up here, and they're going to play, and we're going to have a chance to just evaluate our life. But I have to ask you this. Is your way really working? Like, is it really working, or are you just like, oh, I'm just dealing with it because I don't want to ruffle any feathers? If it's not working, what's keeping you from making the necessary changes to follow Christ? And I need us to understand one last thing. It's the power of Christ that enables us as parents to teach our children about Him, to teach them to obey, to teach them to honor. It's the same power of Jesus Christ that allows children to obey. If you are just instructing your kids to just do things and you're not seizing your speech with grace and bringing it back to the gospel, you're just going to make better sinners.